Well, the latest political poll, the Roy Morgan, shows Labour sitting at 56.5% and National at 26.5%. Greens at 7%, New Zealand First 2.5%, and, well, ACT on 3.5%. So Labour on those figures could govern alone. 76% of those polled saying the country was heading in the right direction. Now, this can't be laid at the feet of the new leader, Todd Muller, although it was taken mostly before he came in, but issues surround the new leader on his performance thus far. Here's Todd Muller in the House wanting to draw a line under the more aggressive tactics of former leader Simon Bridges.
Ask again to the Prime Minister. 500,000 New Zealand businesses are seeking clarification. Do you support $10,000 on the table to assist them to employ one more person to get out of this COVID recovery nightmare?
Mr. Speaker, again, I will just highlight again that actually that is not what I have frequently had correspondence from businesses on. It is about keeping their existing staff. And that is why we have focused on a more than $10 billion wage subsidy program, because businesses don't want to lose the people they have. There will be a period in the recovery, and we are gearing up with that around apprenticeships and keeping them in their roles, around things like using mana and mahi. But I don't apologise for the fact that we have focused on job retention and then job creation.
Well, Tim Watkin has written a piece for Pundit on the challenges ahead, to quote National's new dad who forgot to build the cot. Tim is the editor of Pundit, also RNZ series and podcast executive producer. Tim, welcome to the panel.
Afternoon, Wallace.
Yeah, so look, your synopsis, very interesting here. You say so far it's looking rushed and unprepared. They've had a baby, but Muller hasn't yet gone out and bought the car seat.
Well, it feels to me, if you look at Todd Muller's first week, that this was a guy who had spent a lot of time quite reasonably responding to the concerns within his party about where the polls were going. He put himself forward, he got the job, and then suddenly didn't know what to do with it. That first week was, frankly, a bit of a disaster, I think. I'd be interested in Chris's take on that. You'd think that he would have been better prepared. You need to start, especially when you're a 16th rank MP who is so little known as Todd Muller is, you need to make a good first impression.
When did that last happen, from 16 to 1?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think back. To be honest with that, it's beyond my adult lifetime, certainly.
We'll bring Chris and Tabor into that very, very shortly, but one question for me first. Look, let's remind ourselves that it was Simon Bridges who was to usher in a new era for National, a generational change, and in a sense bypassing the caretaker stage that Labour, for example, spent under Phil Goff.
Yeah.
Didn't really quite work out that way.
No, he didn't. He didn't deliver the goods. This is what's interesting. Opposition is hard, right? Labour found that certainly in its three terms, went to Gough initially to kind of be a caretaker and then prepare for what came next, and then Scherer and Cunliffe didn't deliver. National tried to skip over that and go straight to the next generation with Bridges. He didn't deliver, and now they're trying Muller. The risk for National is that it falls into that same ditch that Labour did for three terms, which was, you know, it loses a lot of political capital because you start to look rudderless and incompetent. And competence is, to say in the piece, very sexy in politics, and they don't look competent at the moment.
All right, Chris Finlayson, and stay there, Tim. What's your take on what Tim has said there?
Oh, basically, he's wrong. I mean, the first week was consumed with criticism of what I thought were petty fucking matters, like whether he had a MAGA hat in his office. Well, everyone in their office has souvenirs. When I was minister in charge of the spooks, I had a couple of Putin dolls that the Russian ambassador's wife had given me, and various other odds and sods. So, you know, if the media got hung up on some stupid cap instead of focusing on the issues that matter. He'll settle down. He's very sound, very experienced, understands the needs of business. I love Nikki Kaye. I think she's a fantastic Member of Parliament who stared down cancer and beat it, and then had the guts and the determination to do the coast-to-coast earlier this year. I think that they're a great team. And I know from my time, I spent about 12 months there in opposition, but after ministerial life, I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there, that there's an extraordinary bunch of bright and competent MPs, Shane Retty, Andrew Bailey, people like that, who are going to make a great contribution.
All right.
And all this nonsense about diversity, for goodness sake, there are equal numbers of men and women on the front bench.
Okay, so Tim, before you jump in, I want to jump into with Taber Khan. Okay, so this nonsense about diversity and superficial issue of the MAGA hat. What do you make of what Chris said?
Oh, look, I think it's really important the kind of souvenirs you keep, right? Because that to the general public anyway suggests your values. So that souvenir would have, well, that's the reality, Chris, in the sense that you can see what's going on in the US at the moment, and these are no longer minor issues that we could just shove under the carpet, and that's where diversity equally matters, and that's not just a national issue, it's also a labour issue, where we need to see...
So I'm to be criticised for my Putin goals.
We're not just talking... Sorry, if I could just finish. We're not just talking gender diversity here. We are talking ethnic diversity. We are talking religious diversity. It is time that we have leadership that represents diversity in its broadest sense. So elections for 2020 are going to be really interesting, and all parties have to step up, really, from where I sit.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, Chris, I don't disagree with some of Chris's points, but the problem was that he made them quite well there. Muller didn't. You know, Muller, I didn't hear pivoting to the gender diversity of his front bench. He got stuck on the problems that he was facing there. Yeah, there were pettifogging issues. Love the word, Chris. But the problem was he didn't have a response to that. The only reason why pettifogging issues get traction is where you don't have your own story to lead. When John Key came in, he had a message about the underclass. He had
You cite him as an example of someone who did it right.
That's how you do it right. He had a story about a state house and a solo mum and making rags to riches story that he told and told and told and told. Muller has not been able to capture, certainly in that first 10 days, any of that kind of spirit. He hasn't come with a clear story, clear message, clear policy. That's my point, is that if you're going to be leader, you need to have those things on day one, not say, oh, Amy Adams is sorting this out for me, I'll come back in a few weeks.
Chris?
Oh, a little postscript I might add on the issue of David Shearer. The Labour Party would have been very wise to have stayed, but when he left, I said I was delighted he was going, because I think that he would have been a very fine Prime Minister, quiet, gentle, thoughtful, but there you have it. So we'll just have to agree to disagree, but it just seems ridiculous that somehow if you have some silly little token or doll or hat in your office, that suddenly you become aligned with the person who's a lightning rod in the United States at the present time. Do I agree? Am I, because I have a Putin doll, necessarily in favour of the invasion?
Okay, to that, before we go, I want to ask you, Chris, I want to ask you the question that was asked of Todd Muller. Is Donald Trump a racist? Chris Finlayson.
I think Donald Trump is a narcissist. I don't necessarily think he's a racist, but I think some of his views are designed to arouse feelings in people that are totally unacceptable in a modern liberal democracy.
Taber Khan, is Donald Trump a racist?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really interesting to hear what racism is, according to my co-panelist. But yeah, I think he is very, very racist, and that's why he incites the level of violence that he does in the US at the moment.
Very interesting. Final thoughts, Tim? I mean, back in 2018, Bridges said he was incredibly fortunate to inherit a party in such good shape. Chris, when you look at the polls now, 26.5 or so, what do they need to do before we move on?
Oh, I think it's very much the same as the polls that I was told about after the Christchurch earthquake, when we were about 56, and after the dreadful attacks on the mosque, Labour went up to about 53, 54, but it's an experience of rallying around the government in a time of crisis. And we'll have to see what it's like at the beginning of August, when Parliament rises and the campaign gets underway. But I'm not surprised by those figures. The issue is going to be what it's going to be like, as I say, at the beginning of the election campaign.
Well, hey, Tim Watkin, thank you very much for being with us
Cheers,
on that. And that piece you can see on Pundit.